This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. Wow, beautiful day here in the Mile High City, and we've got a great show in store for you today. A little bit different show than I normally do here on the show today, but we have a great partner with us here in studio with Crawford Broadcasting and Save the Storks, SaveTheStorks.com. And we're going to be talking about them, and we're going to introduce our guest here in one moment. But another special guest, my boss, the manager of Crawford Broadcasting, KLZ.
Say that carefully. I don't get break into your show very often.
We've never done this before in like 12 years.
Well, let's do it more often.
I know. Good to have you in,
It's
Mike.
Good to be on. All Thanks, right. Scott.
All right, Save the Storks. Now, this is something you explain to me. You've been with Crawford Broadcasting many, many years, and there are certain – there are a lot of people that come to us for different partnerships that we don't do things with.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some that we do.
Right.
This was one
right.
that you guys were all over. Okay. So from a personal side, management side, from Crawford Broadcasting, why Save the Storks?
You know, we don't always get to talk about this topic, although we have worked with Life Choices and some other pro-life sponsors and partners. You know, life is really important to our company. That just does this from the top down, the way Don Crawford Sr. and so many of us, really, it's part of our fabric of our company in many ways, and protecting life. So right. Save the Storks protects life. It's that simple. And they work with other organizations. They're in the middle of it, and they're also working with all these other folks, including some that I've met that they have actually presented and helped with, kind of startup funds, but basically seed money to get a nonprofit started. Diane and Luke can speak more to that with Save the Storks.
Right.
And we're just really pleased to be partners with them. What an honor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So a formal introduction now. So we have Diane Ferrero. I knew I was going to mess that up. CEO of Save the Storks. And also Luke. I should have made you say this one, Mike.
You got it.
Luke Vercolone.
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 Italian. Right. Vercolone.
Vercolone.
You got to use your hands.
Exactly. Should have had some pizza in here, and that would have come out better. All right. And Luke's on the national development team there as well. So, first of all, welcome, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Diane, let's start with you. We were kind of talking before we came on air here. There's a lot of things people can do with their lives and organizations they can get with, things they believe in. Why Save the Storks for you in your life right
yeah.
now?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. It's such an honor to be here, first of all. Thank you to you and Mike for having us. I've always considered myself to be pro-life. I was adopted as a baby. I had volunteered at a pregnancy center when I lived out in Southern California, and I had worked with foster and adoptive kids most of my life. In fact, I was a foster and adoptive parent. So I knew, in my heart of hearts, I was pro-life. When I met my birth mom, I was in my late 20s, and I was so grateful that she chose life for me. She was married, had four small children, was going to college, and had a one-night stand. And she realized she wasn't able to bring a baby into her home, so she found a couple to adopt me. What I found out just recently was that she drove to Mexico with another friend who was in an unplanned pregnancy, and they both went to abort their babies. And my birth mom's friend did abort her baby, and my birth mom changed her mind when she got into that clinic and walked out and chose life, went back to Orange County and found an adoption attorney and chose life for me. So I feel definitely like I have been given that gift of life that I could have been aborted and been one of those statistics. So I'm so grateful for that. But one thing when I grew up in the 1980s, just a few miles from Anaheim, near Disneyland, and I saw protesters out front of the clinics, and they had the best intentions, but they were screaming and shouting and really putting a lot of shame and guilt on these women who were walking into the clinic for abortions. They had the very graphic signs, and it just broke my heart because I knew there were probably girls I went to high school with that might have been walking in that clinic, and they would have been terrified already. And I felt like the people who had good intentions were actually doing the opposite and maybe driving mm-hmm. these women into the clinic. So fast forward to 2018, and I heard about Save the Storks and these mobile medical units, and they treated women with love and compassion. They partnered with pregnancy centers around the country, and I was intrigued. I thought, that's something I could get behind. And I had a 25-plus marketing career in for-profit, and I thought, now's the time to make that change and do something where I serve the Lord and bring glory to Him.
Absolutely.
So it's just an incredible honor and gift to be part of this ministry where we get to support women. We've worked with over 10,000 women across the country in our first 10 years of ministry, and those women have made the decision for life. And four out of five times that they board a mobile medical unit, which we call a stork bus, and they see the ultrasound and they hear the heartbeat, they choose life for their babies. And what a cool thing to be part of.
Right. Great. Luke, same question. Good to have you, sir.
Thanks.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what got you involved with Save the Storks.
Well, thanks for having us. Appreciate it. And let me just share some encouragement. What a blessing it is to work with Diane, and her story inspires us and
sure.
every time. I'm so glad your listeners got to hear that. But yeah, for me, I come from a pro soccer background. I've been playing for 15 years professionally, and as in the twilight of my career, I'd say God was really pulling on my heart. This has always been a critical issue, but He says, you know, can you be doing more? Because I was encouraging Christians to be more proactive in their faith and to get involved, and God was giving that right back to me. So I started volunteering with Save the Storks about 5 years ago, got to know the founder and the president at the time, and they recruited me to join. So it's been about 4 years here. But for me, when I was growing up, relatively large Italian family there, 10 brothers and sisters. So my youngest sister has special needs. And knowing that most children with special needs, they don't survive till birth, I really had to make a decision. Like, is life in the womb valuable? Is it sacred? And at a young age, it was an easy decision for me just because of my relationship with my sister, knowing how much joy she brought to our family and to our life. And so I would say from that young age, and being a Christian, I was very convicted in my pro-life stance. And then getting older, getting involved in the movement, and just being a man and seeing the abuses to the vulnerable or the innocent, I knew I had to do something. And I'm so blessed to be here with Save the Storks, helping moms and saving babies.
Absolutely.
You know, we hear and see a lot of news stories. And we see news stories, especially in Colorado right now, it's become really a battleground mm-hmm. for this issue, because women are being sponsored to come into the state to have an abortion. It's hard to say that, but that's the truth. And I saw a news article where a gal proudly said, hey, we're funding this stuff. We're getting cars, we're getting hotels. I didn't even know that existed. Diane had talked about that in several interviews that we did, and to see someone that was excited about that and to realize, man, they've just bought that lie big time.
Yeah.
And so that sold me on, we're doing the right thing. So thankful that we partner with Save the Storks.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the organization. Now, you guys, we were talking again, you've got a lot of different offices around. So kind of right. give us the footprint, so to speak, of where all you guys are.
Yeah, Scott. So we actually are based in Colorado Springs. Okay. So we're Colorado grown here. And about half of our staff does serve here in our offices in Colorado. The rest serve in states around the country. We actually have 77 stork buses that are in 27 states. In fact, last week we just sent our stork bus to Alaska. It went up to Anchorage. They had to put wow. it on a ferry. It was really exciting yeah. to be part of that. It's an all-wheel drive, so it's going to go out on the tundra, I guess, you know, during the winter months. So we do work with pregnancy centers around the country. We work with different churches now. We have a big Calvary Chapel in New Jersey that has a stork bus, and they actually launched right in the middle of COVID. So as pregnancy centers, the brick and mortars were being shut down in that state because they were deemed non-essential. And mind you, this is while Planned Parenthood was able to stay open.
Sure.
So women were still getting abortions. So that stork bus in New Jersey saved 163 lives during that first year of COVID, because they were able to go out and provide women with real choice. Mm-hmm. And that's what Save the Storks is all about. You know, mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood tells women, you know, it's your body, it's your choice. You get to make that decision. this is, you know, your health, this is your future. And Save the Storks has that opportunity to tell women, you know, if it was real choice, you'd have the choice to parent, you would have the choice to adopt. Aborting your baby isn't a choice. That's taking that child's life.
Sure.
And not only that, it's harming the mom. Luke and I had a great conversation on the drive here. You know, that's what Planned Parenthood doesn't talk about. It's harming the mother's physical health, her mental health, her spiritual health, her emotional health. Mm-hmm. You know, with this new, you know, chemical abortion, they're telling women, you take the pill, it's like taking an aspirin. Go home and it's like having a heavy period. And they're delivering a baby in their bathroom, which is so sad. It's not taking an aspirin. And there's no one there to counsel that woman. There's absolutely no health care surrounding that. So what Planned Parenthood is saying about we offer health care for women is a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. And that's why Save the Storks, partnering with our pregnancy centers and churches, we are providing health care. We have medical professionals on these stork buses. Every stork bus is overseen by a medical director, all licensed, you know, licensed sonographers, licensed nurses. And sadly, they're just suppressing the truth. So women like Mike had shared, he encountered, they think, well, we're providing free travel. They're giving women $4,000 to travel from other states to come to Colorado to get an abortion. And I understand women are getting that up to once a year. Well, why aren't these businesses providing daycare? And why aren't they helping mom with maternity leaves? Why aren't they supporting the fathers? They don't care about the mom.
Sure.
They care about their profits. Yeah. So I just feel sad that the wool is being pulled over everyone's eyes here who think they're pro-choice. They're not pro-choice. They just have been taking in these lies and buying it.
Right. Again, Diane Ferrero is our guest. She is the CEO of Save the Stork. Check out the website, savethestorks.com. Also, Luke Vercoloni is with us, and he is on the national development team there as well. And Mike Treem here with Crawford Broadcasting. You know, it's hard, and as a guy even, okay, and I mean, from I'm sure the female perspective is, I can't even imagine what that would be like for a young lady. But it's just, when you saw recently the Roe versus Wade thing get overturned, and just the anger people had for, in their mind, that choice getting taken away from them in some cases. Boy, it's just hard to see where we're at. You look at, like, you know, you used to think, where's our world going to be in 20 years or whatever. You look what happened over these last 2 years. I mean, that's happened to our world. And I mean, I can't even think about where we're going to be 10 years from now, and our standards and just morals, where we're going to be. And what the Lord's going to allow, because I'm telling you,
we have
done everything from taking prayers away in the school. I mean, we've done everything in the world to just poof, right, Mike?
I mean, there's drift to those things. Remember, it was just a little bit. It was a trickle.
Yeah.
10, 15 years ago, and then it got to be more, and we thought, oh, no, it couldn't get worse. There couldn't be more.
Yeah.
And there has been.
Yeah. And that's why you ever give in to a little bit. And sometimes you think, well, they didn't get this part of a bill, but they got this. But we never get that back, you know? And then it's just closer and closer. And then before we know it, we are where we are today.
You know, Scott, something that breaks our hearts at Save the Storks is we've heard less than 5% of churches in America are taking a stand on pro-life. What happened? Why is the church not standing up for these women and for the babies? A lot of pastors we speak with say, well, it's a political issue. It's not a political issue. It's a scriptural issue. It's a God issue. And they have just been, I think, beaten down so much to say you can't say this or you can't say that from the pulpit. Well, they need to speak up. Mm-hmm. And we are really trying to get out to as many churches as we can here in Colorado to encourage them and empower them to speak up. And not just do that, not just say we're pro-life, but provide meaningful resources for the women in their community when they do choose life. You know, do you have any extra rooms in your homes? Can you, you know, help a mom with her GED? Can you help her get a, you know, job or get training? Can you help maybe babysit once a week?
Sure.
So churches have such a wonderful opportunity right now to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think once America sees us doing that, sees Christians really walking the walk, not just protesting, but actually going out and serving moms, coming alongside that pregnant woman, maybe even dropping off diapers on her porch one night. What things can we be doing as Christians to show our love and show what pro-life really means, to walk it out and really show what Jesus would do if he was here right now. That's to me the lowest hanging fruit for any Christian in America right now.
Absolutely. So Luke, what are some of the biggest needs that you have?
Yeah, we Save the Storks, and we have a cool event here in Colorado, the Lux for Life. It's September 15th, and Diane has really spoke to the need in Colorado. There's a huge need. As we were mentioning, as Roe got reversed, a number of the conservative states surrounding Colorado were getting abortion tourism, so we're getting a lot of people coming into Colorado. So we are proactive here in this state where there's a huge need. We're working on building a stork bus that we're going to own and operate in Colorado, but we're kicking off this initiative and really creating awareness and engagement from the Colorado and Denver community with this event called Lux for Life. It's September 15th. It's at the Mike Ward McLaren dealership. They've been super generous in allowing us to host this event there at no cost to Storks, and it's going to be a powerful event with a Grammy-nominated singer Matt Hammett with Sanctus Real. He's performing. Really cool event, free food and drinks, and a great opportunity to show that Colorado stands for life and that we can't be silent and sit on the sidelines anymore as this critical issue is taking place, and can we do more in our home state? So there's many needs out there, Scott, but in this state right now, this is a great opportunity to do something.
Sure. Now, how do people need tickets? What do they do?
So I'm actually honored to be leading this event, and I would love an email from your listeners. Love to hear from them. My first name is Luke, and my email is very simple, just our website, luke@savethestorks.com. You can also see the event on our events page on our website, but shoot me a personal email. I'd love to get to know you. Love to thank you and shake your hand at that event as we can dive deeper into the mission that the Lord has called us to here in our home state here. So shoot me an email at luke@savethestorks.com.
Okay. And I guess people can donate there as well on the website?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine the expense of a bus.
They are expensive. You know, right now, with all of the COVID challenges and the supply chain issues, we're looking at buses starting at about $210,000. But remember, that those are saving lives. Out of five women that step on the Stork bus choose life. And we are just so proud of our pregnancy centers here in our state and in surrounding states. They can't go out to the women all the time, though. They can't necessarily go to the Planned Parenthoods. Mm-hmm. We work with different sidewalk advocates and their groups. But again, if they don't have a direct source right there that the woman can go to, it's tough to say, oh, now get in your car and drive to the pregnancy center. That's where the power of the Stork bus comes into play. That woman, all she has to do is walk a few steps across the street, step on the Stork bus. All of the services are free for her. And to me, you can't put a price on saving even one life. But imagine if we could save thousands of lives on a Stork bus, you know, every year.
And you know what? You look at things that we do with money, and I think of a lot of times during the year they'll have those Dumb Friends League telethon where they raise money for a dog. Yeah. Now, I'm the biggest dog lover in the world, okay? So I'm all for that. But they'll raise hundreds of thousands of dollars in a couple of days to save a dog. And yet we're trying to get some people to help us here save a human being's life.
Yeah, I heard recently a statistic that was so sad. And I don't know how accurate it is, but I heard that 0.5% of all donations to different groups, only 0.5% go to pro-life groups. Think about that.
Wow.
You know, and our board chair says something great. You know, if Jesus were to come back tomorrow and people have all this money in their 401ks and savings and their cars and their homes, but they're giving 0.5% of what God's blessed them with to pro-life ministries.
Right.
He's going to be pretty disappointed, if they're burying those treasures under a rock or in the sand. You know,
we've seen probably more businesses step up and offer to step up than churches. And you mentioned that earlier. I want to weigh in on that. That's the first thing that a woman facing an unplanned pregnancy should feel comfortable going to is the church. So your work in the church, we're really supportive of that.
That's
so important.
Yeah. In fact, Luke and I are working on getting more corporate partners to join, you know, starting at $100 a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine if you can just take $100 a month from your overall operating budget, give it to Save the Storks. You know, we'll list you on our website. We'll definitely invite you to some special events. We'll Luke and I will come take you to lunch anytime you'd like. We'd like to get to know more about business owners in Colorado and why they are pro-life, and let them know how they can get involved. You know, and again, that can start with $100 a month, and we'll definitely share the good news with others.
Hey, that's probably, what, 10 Starbucks trips maybe, all right,
right.
out of a month that we could all do without? Yeah.
And Scott, these building campaigns for churches, they're raising, they have to raise $3, $4, $5, $7 million. It's just what it takes to build even a medium-sized church.
Right.
Well, we're talking about one bus that can go all sorts of different places to meet women where they are, where they're facing unplanned pregnancy. You look at it in that, you know, in that respect.
Right.
Let's face it, you know, roofing, a roof on a commercial business can be $200,000.
Absolutely.
Easy.
Yes, sir.
So that money, while it sounds like a lot, it's doable. Our listeners could all rally together, the business owners and churches, and get different groups together, and they could raise that money.
Yeah.
We could fund that stork bus if everybody really got serious about it.
That would be awesome. Absolutely. SaveTheStorks.com. Once again, check out their event page. And so you guys do several things throughout the year there, Diane?
Yeah. I mean, our number one goal is really to serve women and partner with pregnancy centers.
Okay.
So we do some fundraisers. So we invite any of your listeners, if they feel like, well, I don't have a business, I can't give, you know, a monthly amount, well, have a garage sale, have a bake sale, maybe enlist the help of your kids. You know, maybe the kids can have a lemonade stand and raise $200. Every dollar is so important to what we do.
Sure.
And we feel like getting kids involved at a young age and telling them why mom and dad are pro-life is so important, you know, just because we want to get their hearts there, you know,
right.
And we want kids to go to school and be proud of the fact that, you know, they are pro-life.
Right. Now, let's take a bus. Let's talk about even the staffing on a bus. Who's on that bus when it pulls up somewhere?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we actually are so blessed. We have licensed nurses who staff the buses, a sonographer, so the person who's trained, they usually go through 2 years of training to run the ultrasound. We have a licensed medical director, so we make sure we have a director that has all the proper licenses in every county, every state, whatever is required. We have a national medical director on our board. She's an OBGYN, and she serves as an emergency room physician. So these are doctors who understand. They've been trained. They've been to the best colleges around the country. And then one of our favorite roles on a stork bus is the driver. So oftentimes it's a male volunteer, and that driver is sometimes the most critical part of encouraging that woman to choose life, because if her boyfriend is standing outside and she's going up on that stork bus and getting her ultrasound, the bus driver will go to him and talk to him and say, well, what's this all about? You know, how long have you been with your girlfriend? What are your fears? You know, do you think you won't be a good dad? And the reason why this is so critical for that, you know, man-to-man connection, I would say, outside the stork bus, is it's close to 80% of women will choose life when her boyfriend says, look, I'm going to be with you no matter what. I'm going to be with you. Let's choose life for this baby. So maybe Luke can speak a little bit about our Grammy award-winning staff member who has a new program.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
On the radio, some of you and the listeners may have heard the song Lead Me, which moves me to tears. I remember years ago as a young husband just speaking about how it's important for men to step up and lead our families. So this artist, Matt Hammett, he's actually an employee and with us at Save the Storks now, and he's leading our fatherhood program. So he's encouraging men to stand up and be there for their girlfriend, for their child, for their spouse sometimes even too. And that really spoke to me big time, because we can't sit on the sideline as men. Like in that stat Diane shared, 80% of moms would have chosen their life for their child if the male in their life would have said, I'll be there for you. So men are convinced by the culture as, you know, this is just a woman's issue, you know, we can't do anything. But the reality is we have to do something. We can't sit silent. We can't be on the sidelines. So our fatherhood program is phenomenal, giving guys that encouragement and the resources to know that their voice matters too. You know, if it's really choice, you know, where is the dad's voice in this whole choice? And it's and we're encouraging men to be involved, to step up, to let the girlfriend or the wife or the mom know that you have their back and you're there with them. And that's super cool what we're doing with the fatherhood program and Matt Hammett there.
Right, absolutely. So once again, September the 15th at the Mike Ward dealership there on C470. Right. Correct?
Highland Ranch, right. Yeah. All Lux right. for now, life.
Again, they can email you, luke@savethestorks.com, but I just want to go back and be clear. Do they need to purchase a ticket, or is it free to come to?
Free event, yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be super cool, and it's free. We are going to ask for donation at the event and encourage others to be more involved in this movement here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we encourage, your listeners, bring your friends, bring your family. We want husbands and wives to join. We'd love for our businesses, maybe let your staff off a little early, although it starts at 6:30, so yeah, there's time to get there.
Say that again for my boss. Let your staff off a little early.
Except you.
Yeah.
Okay. Except Scott.
Yeah. But you know what? And a lot of times you look at things and people may say, hey, I can't do $100 a month. Okay. You know what? Probably all of us could do $25 a month, and all this adds up. I mean, we all look at personal bills. Sometimes you get that string of $25, $50 bills, and all of a sudden you're $2,000 in the hole. Well, that adds up in a positive way too, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And even if the economy's tough right now, we understand that gas prices are through the roof. If they can even make a $10 one-time donation, we are grateful for that, and we're going to put it to good use. We're going to put it towards programs that are life-affirming and that will reach women.
Yeah. And I tell you, the stories that, what a show that would be to get some women in and with kids. And like you say, going back and talking to your birth mother. That's powerful. And you never know how that works out. Sometimes, if you're adopted by somebody else, you kind of think, well, they're my parent. And, I know some kids that really didn't have much interest in meeting a birth mom, others that did and, had a great relationship. But no matter what that result is, the result is you still have life. And that's our point, right?
Right. And, my adoptive parents are always mom and dad.
Sure.
And my birth mom, I call her Edie Mom, and we have a great relationship. It's more like a friendship, but I am forever grateful to her. And we have a staff member she's a birth mom too, and she has an open adoption. And I think her daughter's about 14 now, but it's so cool to see when they meet once a year. She has a relationship with the daughter, with the adoptive parents. It can be such a beautiful picture of God's love. Yeah. And, think about it. 2 million couples in America are waiting to adopt.
Yeah,
they're desperate to adopt. They can't have children, or they want to bring another child into their family. We really are doing a lot to educate women on adoption and the choice of adoption. We have a program called Life's About Choice. So in November, we'll be launching updates to the campaign, and we'll have to come back in because we have some pretty special guests who will be a part of that. One guy lives here in Denver, and he's got a beautiful testimony.
All right, good. SaveTheStorks.com. It is about choice, but you know what? Let's choose life.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. Luke, pleasure to meet you. Diane, pleasure to meet you. Mike, any closing comments from Crawford Broadcasting?
Diane, we're down to a minute. As far as Save the Storks and being able to protect life, what would you tell listeners as final comment?
First and foremost, we need your prayers. Please pray for our ministry. Pray for Save the Storks. Talk to your pastor and your church leaders about getting Save the Storks there to speak about our mission and our ministry. We'd love to, I can join a sermon. Luke can step up and go visit a church. We can speak to women's groups, men's groups, youth groups. We've got a partnership with the director of the Matter of Life. We could do a free screening at your church. We just encourage you as a listener right now, pray about what you can do to support our ministry. And also, next time you see a young woman who is pregnant and she's checking out at Target or Walmart, ask her about her story. Maybe you can pay for her groceries that day. Just do that one-on-one and start to make this personal.
Sure.
If there's a young woman at your church who might need a helping hand, help her.
Right.
Just let's step out. Let's do this and just wow Denver and let Denver show the love of Jesus.
Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you for your time. Mike, thanks for setting us up, sir.
You bet, Scott. Thanks so much. You've been very generous.
You bet. Glad to do it, and we'll do some more, okay?
So
we're here to help you any way we can. September the 15th, hey, check it out. Go to SaveTheStorks.com. Go to their event page. Give you all the details. Shoot Luke an email, luke@SaveTheStorks.com. We'd love to see you there September 15th. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out, or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single-family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees? Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable interest mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra costs. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable interest mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298191. Regulated by DORA.
You're listening to KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. Again, my name is Scott Watley, and we thank you for being with us. As mentioned, our show is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems, and we have Dr. Perry Maynard with us today. Dr. Maynard, always good to have you on, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well. I tell you, I love this time of year. Hey, weather, well, went down a little bit Saturday, but weather's good, getting into fall and football season and all that, and for me, hunting season, so everything's working out good, man.
Yeah, it definitely was a little taste of fall and the weather changing this weekend. I was talking to someone. It's so funny. I feel like the season changes in Colorado are very dramatic.
Yes.
It's kind of like you're stuck in summer, and then all of a sudden things start going haywire. Temperatures start dropping by 40 degrees, and you're like, what is going on? So
I know.
But fall's a good time. It feels good. It's a little cooler out, so it's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, Integrated Health Systems, just great folks there, Dr. Stedman, Dr. Maynard, and the rest of the team there. And we've been doing business with them and shows with them now for a number of years, and just great, great people. And so I just want to start out today's segment by just saying this. Hey, maybe you're just frustrated and not being able to find the help that you need to get on a healthier track, and you just haven't been able to find the answers. Highly recommend you give them a call, 303-781-5617. Just mention the show here. It's an initial free consult, and see if they can be a help. They have a great team there, and for many years have been helping a lot of people. Well, today we're going to talk about something that probably affects most of us at one time or another, and that is the topic of headaches and migraines. And Dr. Maynard, I tell you, I think this is a great topic because, I mean, I know people, man, when they do get a headache, sometimes it's debilitating. They cannot even function.
Yeah, they, for those who have experienced headache or migraines, they can be extremely, extremely debilitating, and there's, individuals who suffer from headaches and migraines, a lot of times will do anything to try to get them under control, just because they can impact so much of life, mood, your ability to work and to make a steady income, relationships, and it can be hard, I think, on both sides, because it's kind of like we talk about sometimes with concussions. It's an invisible kind of thing that's happening. You can't really see it. Mm-hmm. So to other individuals, you may look fine, and they may not understand, but inside you don't feel good. Any kind of pain, whether that's a headache or any other sort of chronic pain, whether that be neck, shoulder, can just be wildly, wildly debilitating. And like we might talk about, there becomes so much more than just finding the root cause, but then dealing with the emotional aspects that come with things like chronic headaches and migraines, because it can be very debilitating, and just it can change the way one interacts with the world, right? Maybe
sure.
Now they don't like going out to hang out with friends or going out to loud restaurants, and so before you know it, individuals are starting to become a little bit more reclusive. They're not hanging out with friends. They're not doing things with their loved ones. And then they're spending the majority of their time in a dark room because it might be the only place they can get relief. And that's really no way for anyone to live.
Yeah, no doubt. So when we talk about headaches and migraines, is there a difference in from the medical term of what a headache is and what a migraine is?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we definitely have different forms. You know, when we take migraine, I would kind of put migraine under the umbrella of headaches, right? And we have different forms of headaches. So, you know, migraines are a certain type of headache. We have things like cluster headaches. We have things like tension headaches. And these can all be classified a little bit or have different presentations. And when you're looking at something like a migraine, so migraines a lot of times will be accompanied with things like nausea, light sensitivity, sound sensitivity. The other interesting thing about migraines is that migraines can sometimes have what are called auras, right? This is where people tend to see maybe flashing lights in their eyes, or they may smell something that's not there, like something's burning, or they may hear things. So these almost like you could think of as these mini hallucinations, but they're what are called auras. Now, a migraine does not have to have an aura, but that is kind of something that is very commonly seen with migraines, and they usually are before the headache. So a lot of people will kind of know that a migraine, it's kind of like a warning sign that a migraine is coming, and so you'll find a lot that that's where they, you know, might take a medication or might do something to try to kick it. So that is what is known as kind of your classic migraine or the most common migraine, you know, versus if we have something like a tension headache. Tension headaches a lot of times are where individuals might describe it as like a vice pressing in on their temple, or like a band that's squeezing around their head, so it's a little bit more like tension. And a lot of times those might have only either sound sensitivity or light sensitivity. So they don't tend to come with as many of the things as, you know, a migraine where you might have the nausea, the light, the sound sensitivity. And then we also have what are called like cluster headaches, which sometimes can be headaches that are behind an eye, right? So they're behind an eye, and sometimes they'll come with an increase in saliva production, an increase in watering, what's called rhinorrhea, where maybe mucus buildup in the nose. So kind of like all these, like this increase in mucus production on one side of the face. And all these headaches also have different presentations. And sometimes with the classification, it has to do with the onset, how long do they last, what type of treatments help to get rid of them. But to be honest, with treating headaches, they can also all blend together. Mm-hmm. Where you can have something like a migraine that kind of looks like a tension, you know, or responds similar. And like we'll kind of talk about in a second, either way, with all these different types of headaches, is there's kind of pillars that I think kind of can go with all of them. You know, and I think we'll get into chatting, at least with migraine, I like to think of four main pillars
okay.
that we like to address to try to get to kind of the root cause of what might be driving those migraines.
Okay, great. Dr. Perry Maynard is with us. Once again, Integrated Health Systems. Their number 303-781-5617. All right, let's walk through those 4 points.
Yep. So when we're looking at some of those 4 points with migraines, we want to think the first one is neurological. The second is musculoskeletal or structural, right? So this is more like your neck and your jaw. And then things like hormones or hormonal causes of migraines. And then the last one is dietary, right? And so sometimes individuals can just be one of these, right? It could be dietary, or it could be menstrual cycle related, hormone related, or maybe it's more related to their neck. But very commonly you'll see it's a blend of maybe all four of these. So when we're looking at neurological, this might be somebody where it is secondary to maybe a brain injury. So maybe something like a concussion, or they hit their head, or post-viral. So maybe something like COVID or some sort of illness where, you know, they get a headache and now they have headaches after this infection. You're looking at, right, alterations in kind of your brain. So when you're looking at a migraine or a headache, any head pain phenomenon is neurological, right? So that pain is occurring from different circuits in the brain. So you could actually argue that all migraines are neurological in nature. It's just what is setting that person's neurology off to become unstable, right? And for these pain circuits to become a little bit more hypersensitive. And that's where, like I said, when we're looking at maybe let's take, I'd say neck and jaw from a musculoskeletal or a structural standpoint tend to be the most common. So maybe somebody who's got a tight neck or had a whiplash injury or a neck pain, a lot of that tension, so a lot of the nerves that innervate our scalp run through our neck. And so it's not uncommon when people have tight necks that you can get irritation of those nerves or what's called like a neuralgia. And then this is where people, you'll hear people say all the time, oh, you know, when I rub my head, like my scalp burns. Or, you know, for those with long hair, you know, I brush my hair and it's, my scalp is really, really sensitive. So that's what's called hyperalgesia, where this sensation that should normally not be painful is now painful. So like I said, like touching their scalp, things like that. And then from a jaw standpoint, you might have a lot of individuals that might clench their jaw, or they may grind their teeth at night. Those are very common things as well. So a lot of times, some of the big focuses from a structural standpoint are definitely the neck and the jaw.
Okay.
And then when we're looking at sorry, go ahead.
No. That's just interesting, man.
Yeah. And then when you are looking at hormonal, you know, hormonal ones you tend to see more in the female population. Men do have hormones, but men's hormones don't tend to fluctuate nearly as much as females. So I think this is a little bit more on the female side, but it's not uncommon to see that females may get migraines at certain points in their cycle. And so it's really, really important where we start to dive in and say, okay, when in that cycle is it? Is it at the beginning phase? Is it in the middle? Is it the end? So then we can look at hormones and see what's going on at those points when an individual is getting a migraine. Because, you know, when we're looking at how hormones can affect migraines, it's, sometimes it's just the fluctuation in the hormones that can kind of create the brain circuitry to become a little bit more unstable, because things like estrogen and progesterone, so some of these hormones, play a huge role in brain function. The other piece is, too, that for females during things like menstruation, when there can sometimes be a lot of blood loss, we can sometimes see things like anemias or low iron. Some of these things can be triggers for migraines as well. So hormones are a big, big piece, and you tend to see that be a little bit more prevalent with our female patients. And then lastly, dietary. You know, when we're looking at dietary triggers of migraines, I'd say the top one is blood sugar dysregulation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for individuals who tend to have what's called reactive hypoglycemia, to where they eat and they get these kind of big blood sugar roller coasters. Or this might also be your person who says, you know, when I'm having a headache, if I eat, I feel way better. You know, or if I skip a meal, I'm definitely getting the migraine. Whenever I have a patient that tells me that they can't go more than a few hours of eating, otherwise they'll get a headache, that is a big sign that their brain's energy systems are very unstable. So that when they don't have constant fuel, their brain fatigues out and then they get a headache or a migraine. So blood sugar is one of the top ones from a food mechanism. But then individuals can also have foods that are just inflammatory triggers. So this could be things like gluten or wheat. This can be things like dairy. Very commonly in migraines, it's things like high histamine foods, so things like chocolate and sometimes fermented foods. So there can be actual specific foods themselves that can be triggers for migraines. And so for a lot of individuals, you know, we'll kind of track, and a lot of individuals who have had migraines will keep diaries to kind of find some of those triggers. And then lastly, like we talked about, is different things that can create anemias, right? And an anemia is a kind of an alteration in red blood cell function to where individuals have trouble carrying oxygen throughout their body. And this can be secondary to things like low iron. So once again, going back to dietary, if we have an individual who's maybe a vegan, vegetarian, and is not paying attention to supplementation with iron or their iron levels, you know, that can be one thing. You know, you can also have anemia secondary to B vitamin deficiency, so all sorts of things. So we really want to look at to make sure that individuals are being nourished appropriately, they have stable blood sugar, and there aren't certain foods that are giving them triggers. And so that's really kind of what we look at. So we look at the neurology piece. So we look at how is the brain functioning. We look at things like eyes. So eyes can also be very big triggers for migraines. So the ways people's eyes track and things like that. So we look at the neurology aspect. We look at the musculoskeletal, or how does the neck look? How does the jaw look? We look at things like hormones, and then we look dietary-wise at kind of what's going on blood sugar-wise, what's going on inflammation-wise, to try to get a picture to really get to the root cause of an individual's migraine.
And wow, I tell you, when you look at all the different possibilities here when someone comes in and complains of this, it may take a little while to diagnose this down and really figure out that cause. And I would assume sometimes there's something else going on that's attributing to the headaches too, so you never know, right?
Definitely. It does take some time to get to the root, or you know, when someone's been battling for with headaches for so long, sometimes it can just be very difficult to break the cycle. But I think getting to the nitty gritty details, I think, is really important into where you can change things quickly. Sometimes, you know, because when you look at medications, and sometimes medications can be very impactful for individuals, things like Emgality and some of these injections, I would argue they're getting to the root cause of the pain circuit within the brain.
Right.
So how those medications are working is they're affecting the pain circuits in the brain, but they're not addressing what is insulting those pain circuits. So if someone still has altered hormone function, or still eating that food has altered blood sugar, you know, it's really just kind of a Band-Aid, you know?
Right.
And this is where you might have individuals who fail multiple medications, you know, so it is really important, but it's also important to also be very patient as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Perry Maynard is with us. It's Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. So does it matter the seriousness of a headache or whatever, if depending on the location? Let's say someone says, I always get a headache and it's over my right eye, or it's on the front of my head, or it's on the side of my head, or back of my head. Does any of that play into any of the diagnosing?
For sure. So location can. So the way someone describes their headache, so is it a burning versus a pounding versus a throbbing? Is it better lying versus standing? So all of those tells a ton, because, and even sometimes location, because location can sometimes tell you, is there a referral point? So we have what are called pain referral points. So different parts of the jaw or the neck will refer to different areas. So like the base of the skull is very pathognomonic for a certain part of the neck. Behind the eye, same thing. Temples, all of those give us kind of referral patterns. So knowing where they're feeling the pain can be really, really important, but also the quality of the pain, because a burning tension may be very different than a pounding headache right? Because we can also have vascular reasons for headaches, where individuals are having trouble getting blood flow to their brain. And so if we can understand that that individual might describe their headache a little bit better, or you have some people where their headache is secondary to a increase in pressure within their skull or within their brain. And these are individuals that might have a really bad headache when they lie flat, but when they stand, it totally goes away. You know, so and that's not every headache. Those are kind of different rare ones. But yes, all these little descriptors and differences are really, really important because they allow us to classify what type of headache, but then understand the mechanisms that seem to make it better or worse.
Right. Now, let's talk about treatment just a little bit. I mean, and when to seek medical attention, if some people just go, hey, you know what, I get these every day, but I take whatever, and it helps them, it still may not be a bad idea to come in and kind of check out and see what's going on, right?
Well, definitely, because if you're looking at something like over-the-counter pain meds, which can be helpful, you're quieting an alarm. If it's something where you're having to become reliant on pain medication daily, I mean, one, that's not great because NSAIDs are very harsh on your body. So things like Tylenol are very harsh on your liver. Things like ibuprofen are very harmful to your kidneys and your gut long term. So one, there's side effects to these medications. So if you don't need to be on them, it's probably best to not be on them long term. And two, when you're looking at pain at its simplest state, pain is a signal that something is not right, right? Pain is a warning sign, right?
Right.
Now, the problem with pain is it's very nonspecific. It doesn't tell you what's wrong. It would be great if all of a sudden, you know, when you got pain, it said, hey, I'm hungry, or, you know, my blood sugar's low. That's why I'm giving you this alarm. You don't. You just get a pain signal. So if you take, let's say, an over-the-counter NSAID and you shut off that signal, then, yeah, you get relief, and that's great, but you're not addressing that fire that's burning, you know? And so the problem is that individuals over time can then also create resistance to that medication, which then they have to treat with more and more and more and more. So really, I think if you're having to become reliant on anything, that's a time that, you know, maybe seeing someone, you know, if maybe once in a blue moon you're having to take something and, you know, you feel like you have it under control. But if it's a daily occurrence and you are using medication to kind of self-manage the pain and you really haven't sought medical care, I think that's definitely a time to seek professional help.
Sure. You know, I think we did a show a year or so ago and we're talking about this, and I think I remember something about some people getting Botox, and then I kind of looked it up to refresh my memory, and one thing I read, it said approximately 65% of people see improvement in their migraine symptoms following a Botox headache treatment. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yep. We see a lot of patients get Botox. So when you're looking at Botox, that is looking a little bit more at that tension mechanism or that musculoskeletal mechanism. So the way Botox works, so Botox is botulinum toxin, so it's an actual neurotoxin, okay. And it paralyzes, it temporarily paralyzes the muscle. So people will get Botox in their neck, in their face, and the idea is that you are going to paralyze the muscle to decrease tension, which then decreases the headache, which can be helpful for individuals, but when individuals have not tried things like conservative care, so things like massage, PT, chiropractic, like things to loosen the neck and loosen the jaw, and they jump right to Botox, I don't think that's the best route. I think there's a time and the place, but that's where you're looking at that musculoskeletal side. So Botox is helping to reduce tension within the face and the neck muscles to then decrease the pain sensation.
Right.
All right, very common, yeah.
Yeah, last 3 or 4 minutes here, but let's talk about, you know, boy, many people, especially over the last couple of years, you know, quit seeing the doctor and all with all the things we had going on with COVID and all. But what would be your advice to say, hey, look, if you're feeling this, you need to seek medical attention, like, quickly, you know, don't put it off. So what type of headache out there would you say, man, get in and see a medical professional?
So, yeah, that's actually a great question, because there can be headaches that are benign. And what I mean by that is that they're just going to be very uncomfortable and debilitating, but they're not going to be harmful, per se, in the short term. But like I said, headaches can be sometimes warning of something more serious. So, you know, I say headaches that are, you know, one of the first ones, so one headache that is described what is called a thunderclap headache, which is described as like the worst pain people experience. So an acute or rapid onset of a debilitating headache, and it's called the thunderclap headache because it's like a clap of thunder in your head. Those are headaches where you want to seek very quick medical attention. Also, headaches that evolve quickly into any form of neurological deficit. So that might be speech issues, coordination issues, balance, things like dizziness, slurring your speech. So if someone, you know, now these can be benign. Migraines can create those types of presentations.
Sure.
But they can also be more serious things as well. So any headache that comes with any sort of like neurological deficit, you want to instantly seek medical attention. So that's another one, things like the thunderclap headache. And then honestly, any headache that is progressively getting worse, constant, and is not responding to any form of care that you're doing at home. Mm-hmm. So those are also headaches that you want to take a look at to make sure, because there can be more serious things that we want to make sure are not going on. So I'd say those are kind of the main types of headaches that are ones that you want to relatively quickly seek medical care, you know, versus some of these other things are important, but aren't going to be necessarily life-threatening.
Yeah, and I would assume, too, hey, if they're starting out and they're lasting 5-15 minutes, then all of a sudden they start lasting 30 minutes, start lasting an hour, 2 hours, that's not a good sign either.
No, definitely not. Like I said, or if you know, you've always been able to pop a few Advil and they go away and that's no longer working, then that's a sign that more something needs to be looked at and there's something else going on.
Right. Well, Dr. Maynard, always great information. We appreciate it so much, and thank you guys for all you do for our listeners, and we'll look forward to our next conversation, sir.
Sounds good. Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thank you. That's Dr. Perry Maynard, Integrated Health Systems. As I mentioned earlier, always a free initial consult. Just give them a call, 303-781-5617. Tell them you heard them on Your Health Matters, and we would appreciate that as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Once again, thanks for being with us. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.